السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، if Allah سبحانه وتعالى gives someone, grants someone the tawfiq to step foot inside his house even once, this is a very great blessing of Allah تعالى. You and I, we don't allow any stranger into our house. That person we allow into our house, whose presence we want in our house, he's a friend, he's a relative, he's someone whose company we enjoy. Or maybe he is someone pious, so we feel that his company, him coming into my house will benefit, the barakah will come into my home. Whatever the reason. So, if a person in his entire life he comes to the masjid once, that one time he has come because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided that he wants this servant to enter the house, to enter my house. And if a person gets the tawfiq to come 5 times a day, that is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants this servant to come 5 times a day into his house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him permission. To us it seems like I am the one making the effort to go there. But in reality, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inviting you. I have heard a very intriguing and a story with an incident with a great lesson, time and time again from my teacher and sheikh. Hazrat Maulana Salim Durrat Sahib, hafidhahullah ta'ala. A true incident. He mentions that once there was a master and a slave on a journey. And the slave was somewhat more worried about his deen than his master. As is often the case, that those people who don't have a lot in this world, they usually have more worry for the deen. This is not the discussion on the matter, but this is a very important point to understand. Because when our parents, our forefathers, our grandparents migrated here, then they endured difficult circumstances, majority of them. So in their mind, they had this thought that my children should be better off than me, they should be comfortable. And there is no harm in having this wish for your children. And alhamdulillah, through the efforts our generations, we have to an extent, many of us, we have had a much more comfortable than them. But having this wish for your children, that my children live a comfortable life, the needs are seen to with relative ease. There is nothing wrong with this. In fact, this is praiseworthy. Sharia and deen desires this. Once Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, the very famous Sahabi, in Makkah Mukarramah, he became very ill. He had migrated to Medina Munawwarah. He was just visiting Makkah Mukarramah, either at the time of the conquest of Makkah or some other time. So he became very ill. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled him. A lengthy conversation took place which holds many lessons, but there is this one point that is relevant here to our discussion. One thing Sa'ad radiallahu anhu requested to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that I have a lot of wealth, so shall I make a wasiya, a bequest that all of it be given in charity? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. Too much. He said, I will bequest them that two-thirds of it be given in charity, half of it be given in charity. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again said too much. So he said one-third. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. And he said, وَالثُّلُثُ كَثِيرًا. One-third is كَثِيرٌ, one-third is a lot as well. And then he said to Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, إِنَّكَ أَن تَذَرَ وَلَدَكَ أغني أو لا ولدك أغنياء خير من أن تذلك عالة يتكففون الناس. That it's better for you that you leave your children with wealth rather than you leaving them empty-handed and they're having to go beg to other people. So this is something Deen encourages, that leave your children comfortable. But at the same time, a person should not have this goal and this objective either for himself that he or his children, that they become rich and luxurious. Yes, they become comfortable. They can live life comfortably. But they become rich and luxurious. This majority of the time, becoming rich and luxurious, richness and luxury harms a person's need. Majority of the time. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Quran about multiple prophets? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in multiple places, He mentions that when the prophets, they came, the Anbiya alayhim salam of the past, and they propagated the message. Then, who are the people who gave them a rebuttal? Who denied them? Often Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word mutrafiha. The people who are living in luxury. So, often, not always, but often, more often than not, richness, luxury, makes it more difficult for a person to come closer to Deen. So, a person for himself, yes, desire to be comfortable, but don't desire to be rich and luxurious. And if a person, and don't make that goal as well. If you make that goal, then when wealth becomes that important to you, then it will be very difficult to keep Deen a focus at the same time as well. Then you, sooner or later, you will sacrifice Deen for wealth. So, the slave and the master, they were going somewhere. And the master, he had a bit more worry for Deen he was more worried about his Deen than his master. So the time for Salah came. So the slave requested the master that, may I find a masjid nearby and perform my Salah? So the master allowed him to do so. So they reached the masjid. The slave went inside and the master remained at the door. The master remained at the door. He is waiting for the slave. He cannot do anything. It was not the time of phones that he would take his gadget out and start, you know, doing work on there. He is waiting there. And he is seeing the whole majma going inside. For salah time, for jamaat time. But whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't invite in his house, he is not allowed it. So the slave goes in. The slave performs his salah with ease. The master sees that everyone is coming out now. He is expecting the slave to come out as well. So everyone, the majority is out now. Now the last few trickling out. The slave is nowhere to be seen. Everyone is gone. He waits for a few minutes. The slave still doesn't come out. The master goes inside, into the entrance, and goes on into the shoe area. He goes inside looking for his slave, but still, he is not given the tawfiq to enter the masjid. He goes into the shoe area. And from the shoe area, he shouts, that, "Where are you? What are you doing?" He shouts to his slave. So the slave replies that, "I'm busy, I'm still praying." So the master asks, why are you taking so long? Why aren't you coming out?" The slave answers, that same being who is not letting you come in is not letting me come out. So, if a person is even blessed with one visit to the masjid, it is a very great blessing. A visit to the house of Allah, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you here. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. In one hadith, it is mentioned that every single time a person comes to the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waits for him and greets him, just like there is a traveler who has gone on a long trip and who is coming back home, and just like his family anticipate him and wait for him, similarly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting for him. So being allowed to come inside the masjid is a great blessing, which you and I, we cannot, whatever gratitude do we show for it, is not enough. Allahumma lakal hamdu wa lakal shukr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He grants us this blessing. Now, He grants us this blessing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires that we show gratefulness for it. And the best way to show gratefulness for any blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the true way to show gratefulness for any blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to use it how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to. This is the true and the most important way to show gratitude to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you ears. Use them how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to. To listen to those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to listen to. To keep them away. That is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you family. Deal with them how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is true gratitude. Saying, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukru. Alhamdulillah. Oh Allah, you are so great and you are so merciful. If this is not coupled with using the blessing as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, then it is nothing but lip service. Now, how do we use this blessing in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to? It is very simple. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the opportunity to enter the masjid, then we spend our time in the masjid exactly as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to. And this is the topic of the discussion. How do we maximize the benefit of our time spent in the masjid? We are not saying here, increase the time in the masjid. We are saying the time we are already spending in the masjid. We are already making the sacrifice of coming. How do we maximize that time? And this, we are saying that it is a form of showing gratitude for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, if we show gratitude by maximizing how we spend our time in the masjid, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not benefit, we will benefit. See, everything, every action has etiquette, adab, a method shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if there is one person who does this action, keeping all of these in mind, and there is another person who does the action, but he does not keep all of these in mind. Two people fast. Zaid fast and Hamid fast as well. Zaid fast, but the etiquettes of fasting, the sunnah, the advice that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he does not pay attention to that. He fasts. And Hamid fasts, but he pays attention to everything. He understands that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is what it is, sunnah to have dates, it is mustahab to have dates for suhoor, he has dates. It is mustahab to delay the suhoor until close to dawn, he does this. And all this is just a few examples. A person should be particularly careful about staying away from arguments, ghibah in the fast, he does this. And whatever else. At the end of the day, to us, both Hamid and Zaid will have kept the fast. But the value of the fast, the value of the fast of Hamid and the fast of Zayd, there will be a vast difference between the two. It is possible 30 of Zayd's fast does not equal Hamid's one fast. And spiritually, the progress Hamid will make through one fast, it is possible Zayd does not make through his entire Ramadan. And this goes for any action. And this is something which does not which is something very easy to do. It just requires a bit of knowledge and a bit of attention to implement that knowledge. We don't need to make any extra sacrifice. Zayd and Hamid are both fasting. It is Zayd, it is just Hamid has gained that extra knowledge and he is paying attention to making sure he implements that knowledge. Some ulama have written that in Salah, overall there are more than 600 sunnah. We have broken it down, every single sunnah. And there are about 600 sunnah. So imagine there is one person who performs his salah, not paying attention to his sunnah, and another person does. Both the salah, when they go into the court of Allah, what? There would be huge difference between the two. So we need to maximize our time spent in the masjid. Now how do we do this? There are a few points. The first, and you can say the most important point to understand, is that what is the purpose of the masjid? And what is the reason the masjid holds so much virtue? In the hadith it says that the masjid is the best places on earth. أَفْضَلُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُ. And in the same hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. The most disliked places by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth are the marketplaces. Now here, you might say, what about the pubs? What about the cinemas? So we are talking about those places where it is permissible to go to. Those places, the pubs and cinemas shouldn't even exist on the earth. Out of those things that should exist on the earth, that are needed on the earth, the best places are the masajid and the worst places are the marketplaces. Why is this the case? Because there is an action which happens in the masjid more than any other place. And this action, the marketplace is void of more than any other place. What is this? This is the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the soul of the masjid. To the extent that if a masjid is empty of this, then in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this masjid is a ruin and it is deserted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that close to the day of judgment, such masajid will be ma'muratun wa hiya kharabun. Ma'muratun, they will be populated on the apparent. But in reality, wa hiya kharabun, they will be equivalent to a ruin, they will be deserted. What does this mean? They will be populated with people, but they will be empty of the dhikr of Allah. The people will come and they will be busy in everything except the dhikr of Allah, busy in talking, busy in this and that. If they do perform salah, it will be salah which is devoid of the dhikr and the remembrance of Allah. So this is the first and you can say the most important point to understand, that the purpose of the masjid is that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens as much as possible in it. And salah is the best form of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is why this is a central action of the masjid. وَاقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. Establish salah. What is the purpose behind salah? لِذِكْرِ, for my remembrance. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced regarding the masjid that إِنَّمَا هِيَ لِتِلَاوَةِ الْقُرْآنِ وَذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Therefore the tilawah of the Qur'an and the dhikr of Allah. The tilawah of the Qur'an is a form of the dhikr of Allah. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَرُتَعُوا. When you pass by the gardens of Jannah, then graze well. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu asked that what are the gardens of Jannah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Masajid. The Masajid. No. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He asked another further question. He said, how do I graze? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you mean grazing? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directed him to a specific dhikr of Allah. He said, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. So dhikr of Allah, and in particular, this is something which holds special virtue in the masjid. So under the dhikr of Allah in general, this, the third kalima, holds special virtue in the masjid. So we should make it a purpose, we should make it a target. That every time I come into the masjid, I will say the third kalima 10 times. As you walk into the masjid to reach your place of salah, and as you leave, this will probably be done by then. But in if a person enters the masjid 5 times a day, he will have practiced upon this hadith 50 times. So this is one etiquette. This is the most important etiquette of the masjid. That as many moments in the masjid should be spent in the dhikr of Allah. Anything which distracts from the dhikr of Allah should be avoided in the masjid. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that worldly talk should not take place in the masjid. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said voices should not be raised in the masjid, because the people who are in the dhikr of Allah, it will disturb them. That is why the ulama said that in the masjid when a person comes, then he should not look here and there. He should come, sit as close to the minbar as possible. Face the qibla and engage in the dhikr of Allah. He should understand that I am in the house of Allah. It is as if I am in front of Allah. He should engage himself in the dhikr of Allah with this thought in mind that my Allah is listening to me. My Allah is listening to me reciting the Quran. My Allah is watching me performing salah. My Allah is listening to me, is watching me doing tasbihat, is watching me making dua. I mentioned this before as well, that nowadays, our masajid walls have a magnetic attraction. Everyone, it seems like it is forced to find the space on the wall. So whenever people decide to spend time in the masjid, extra time after salah, the first thing they do is look for a space on the wall. Now, I'm not saying this is impermissible, but there are a few harms associated to this. The first is that any form of the dhikr of Allah, any good deed, it is more beneficial and it is more virtuous when it is then facing the qibla. The majority of the people who find a wall to sit against, they do not remain facing the qibla. So you lose this virtue. Secondly, if a person does not need a wall to lean against, then it is against adab to busy oneself in the tilawah of the Quran, to tasbihat whilst he's leaning. It is against adab. It is against the reverence of the Quran and the dhikr. If a person has a back problem, like me sometimes, then there is no harm. But if a person does not, then without necessity, he is not extremely tired, then it is against the reverence of the dhikr of Allah and the Quran to lean. So that dhikr and that tilawah, which is then without leaning, is then with more reverence, so it is more virtuous and more beneficial. Number three, the purpose of coming to the masjid is that we focus on Allah alone. We do tilawah with this thought in mind that my Allah is listening to me read. How happy he must be that I am reading right now. I am in his house and I am reading. But if we sit against the wall, then every person that walks in the masjid, it catches our eye. Every person that walks past us, it catches our eye. It will be very difficult for this person to concentrate. Try it yourself. Try sitting against the wall and reciting for half an hour, and then sit in the first saf and recite for half an hour. See the difference in concentration. So everything a person does in the masjid should be with the focus that I want to remember my Allah as much as possible. If he does this, then he is fulfilling the purpose of the masjid and he is maximizing benefit from the masjid as well. Apart from them, there are a few other points as well. For example, which many of them we know, a person should enter with the right foot, leave with the left foot. The masnoon adi'iyah for entering the masjid, leaving the masjid, alhamdulillah, we have a poster there. A person should recite them. If you pay attention to the poster for a couple of weeks, you'll have memorized those du'as just by reading them. A person should make sure there is no foul, he does not bring any foul odor into the masjid. Where there is dirt in the masjid, it should be picked up. All of this, anything which adds reverence to the masjid, which is the demand of revere in the masjid, should be done. And anything which is against the reverence of the masjid should be abstained from. So, this is the purpose today, that this action which we are already doing, let us maximize it. Then inshallah we will see the difference in our life. We will see the difference in our spirituality. We will see spiritual progress in our life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to maximize our time in the masjid. Now, it's possible there may be women folk listening at home as well. So, we'll just end with one hadith, because we have mentioned the virtues of the masjid. One sahabiya, she came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this sahabiya, she is very regular in coming to the masjid. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the high dini condition of the people, women were given, and because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the masjid, he used to give a lot of educational programs in the masjid as well. So women were given a lot more permission to enter the masjid. And thereafter, after the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they realized that the dini condition is not the same, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is not here either. So they started discouraging the women from entering the masjid. But let us come back to this hadith. This Sahabiya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knew she was very regular in coming to the masjid. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that, I know you love coming to the masjid to perform salah with me. You love performing salah behind me, which is why you come to the masjid. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that more rewarding for you performing salah in Masjid Nabawi behind me with me as the imam is you performing salah in your home alone. More rewarding and more virtuous. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to say that more rewarding you performing salah in the outer room of your home, it is more rewarding for you that you perform salah in the inner room of your home. Basically, the more hidden the place where you perform salah, the more rewarding it is for you. What does this mean? We are not talking about the virtues of performing salah in an ordinary masjid. Virtues of performing salah in Masjid Nabawi, 50,000 times the reward of a normal salah. And who is the imam? Sayyidul Mursaleen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he is telling a woman who is coming with a correct intention, out of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you will gain more reward performing salah at home. And the sahaba radiallahu anhum, the purpose was always gaining the pleasure of Allah. So the sahaba radiallahu anhum, they said that after that, this sahabiya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say you can't come. He said more. After this sahabiya was never seen in the masjid again. So the good news for the women is that they gain everything that the men can gain having to come to the masjid at home. Rather, they gain more at home than if they were to be allowed into the masjid and they were come to perform salah in the masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to value the masajid, to spend time in them and to maximize how we spend our time in them. Ameen. Wa akhiru ta'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanallah wa hamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك